two scripture passages for today. The first comes from Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and the second from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Hear now God's word, beginning in the Zechariah passage. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on the top of it, and seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year to you. Hope you had a great Christmas with your family and friends. Great New Year's. If you were there at Christmas Eve, wasn't it a great celebration? I mean, we had, this is a picture that Jamie McNabb took that just an amazing picture with the cross in the forefront and everybody in the back as we sang Silent Night. We had our largest service in the history of our church at the 5 p.m. Christmas Eve service. We had 829 people there. And overall, all told, we had about 20% more at Christmas Eve 2019 than we did the year before, which is amazing because we got kicked out of a building in between. And so you know why that happened? It's because you all invited people, and like it worked. Like your invitations brought people there. At the beginning of each service, I said, "Raise your hand if you were invited by someone. That's why you came." And a lot of people raised their hands. So, I just praise God for that. I'm really excited about this new year, about 2020, and what is kind of in store for us as a church. And I'm starting a new series this morning, 2 weeks. It's called 2020 Vision. A couple weeks ago, I sent out a video to everybody in the congregation and just explained the results of the survey that most of you probably took a couple months ago. One of the most clear things we learned from that survey is that you all want to move forward with buying land and working on our permanent home ASAP. There were like 92% of all people who took the survey said that. So that came out very loud and clear. That is really exciting for us. And so what I want to do is I want to give an overview of what is in store for us in this very exciting, very important year. So today and next week, I'm going to do part one of 2020 Vision. So what we're going to look at is just generally what our spiritual outlook should be for this year. So for us as individuals, for us as a church, what are two different components of what a healthy spiritual outlook is for 2020? Another thing we heard from the survey is that our vision and what we are, things like what we're trying to accomplish, how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, and how we're going to measure our success as a congregation, that could be a little more clear to the congregation. And so we heard that after this series, our leaders, we're going to go back and try to refine our vision, and then we are going to communicate it as clearly as possible and kind of hear what you think of it. And that's going to happen in the spring. So part two of 2020 Vision will happen in the spring, and we will just lay out kind of clearly what our vision is as a church and what we hope and pray and will work for by God's grace to see Him accomplish through NAPC. And then in the fall, we will have our Faith Forward capital campaign where we will ask you to commit significantly to the future of this church as we are going to build. And so that's kind of the progression. Let me tell you why the progression is that way and why we aren't just launching into a capital campaign like tomorrow. The reason for this is that, look, the building is going to be very important, but that building is not the goal of NAPC. Does that make sense? Like, the land building, they're very important, but ultimately they are only tools to accomplish what all the things we want to see God accomplish through us at NAPC. So land building, very important, not the most important, okay? They are tools to accomplish the vision, and we want to lay that vision out very clearly before we then get to the land and building. Does that make sense, everybody? You with me? Just go like this or give me a wholehearted amen.
Amen.
All right. I love you. I love that. Feel free to say that more. And on that note, related to land and building, I want to give you a couple updates. In the video, I told you a couple weeks ago that we have identified one particular property that we are very excited about, that we voted as elders to go after and to try to acquire. None of that has happened yet. We haven't signed anything, okay? But in the next 6 weeks or so, we should be able to tell you something really important, and that is what that property is, and that's what we're hoping to do in the next 6 weeks or so. So we want to give you information. We just can't give it to you yet. We haven't signed anything. And then what will happen is we will not make any decisions, of course, until we all get a chance to think about it and talk about it and pray about it. And then the congregation, we would all vote to approve that if that is the direction that we're going in. But I just want you to know, land has been identified. We're very excited about it. And as soon as we can communicate with you, we will, okay? Related to the building, we sent out a survey about a week ago asking for your input, your opinion about the building. If you haven't filled that out, we'd love for you to. It closes tomorrow, so you do have an opportunity to share some of your thoughts about that, and we'll kind of go from there. So that's our plan for 2020. Everybody clear on what that plan is? Excellent. And as I said, spiritual outlook right now, this week and next week. And really, what I want to communicate today is that we have a lot of talented people and smart people in the room, and we've got resources. It doesn't matter how many resources and how much talent is in the room if we are not crying out to God for help. And if we are not praying and praying and praying and asking Him to lead us and guide us. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, dependence on the Holy Spirit and prayer. With that, let's pray together. Father, thank you for a new year. Thank you for the grace that you have shown us, for all of the things that we have celebrated and the things that we are looking forward to. Certainly there are many challenges as well, and so we want to cry out to you. We ask for your help in all of those things. We know we can do nothing apart from you. Jesus said that He's the vine, we are the branches, we can do nothing apart from Him. So we rely on you, and we ask for you to send your Holy Spirit, Father, that we might listen attentively to the Word and take something that you want us to take away from this and apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen. So the book of Zechariah, may not be familiar with it. It's the second to last book in the Old Testament. And it was written about 500 years before Jesus was born. Zechariah was living at a time. So this is kind of a little bit of history of what had happened in Zechariah's time. The Babylonian Empire had conquered the Israelites, and they had done the unthinkable. They had destroyed the temple and the city, God's city, Jerusalem. And they had taken the Jewish people away into exile. And then sometime later, a few decades later, the Jewish people were given permission to return to Jerusalem and to begin to rebuild the city. And so a great leader, a guy by the name of Nehemiah, led people back, and they began to rebuild the city walls. There was a lot of opposition because Jerusalem was once a power and it had been devastated. And so the people groups around them did not really want it to be rebuilt. But Nehemiah persevered. They rebuilt the city walls. And then they laid the cornerstone, the foundation stone of the temple, to rebuild the temple. And that was a huge deal and it was really exciting. And then things just kind of languished. And it was a couple decades and nothing had happened, and there were really high taxes from the empire, and there was opposition, as I said, and it was hard to coordinate and lead the people. And so Zechariah comes on the scene at a time of great discouragement, and it seems like obedience to God is really like a fruitless thing, and why obey God? He's not listening to us anyway. And Zechariah is there to tell the people, look, it may not have gone the way you wanted it to, but God is very much at work, and he's going to work in his timing. Well, one other thing about the book of Zechariah before we get to chapter 4, Zechariah talks at the end of his book about a coming good shepherd who's going to lead his people. And the New Testament is full of quotes and allusions to Zechariah. There's 67 of them in the whole New Testament. So you may not be familiar with the book, but if you've read the New Testament, some of it, you may have heard some of the very words of Zechariah here. In chapter 4, Zechariah receives a vision. And visions in the Bible, they're bizarre, man. It's hard to understand them. And this one is no exception. Let's look in verse 2. So this angel wakes Zechariah up in the middle of the night like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And the angel, he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it and seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." So a lampstand, the Hebrew word for lampstand, you may have heard it before, it's menorah. Okay, so this is a picture of a menorah. It's got seven candles and they're all lit. Well, this was sort of what's being described here. There's a bowl of oil in the middle of it, and then there are seven lampstands around it. So it's like a super menorah. It's like a spotlight. There are seven times seven equals 49 lights all around this, okay? And then on either side are olive trees. So light in the Bible is often used to describe the presence of God, God's leading, his word. You know, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." So light, generally, it's a good thing. Olive trees in the Middle East in that time were a very important crop, both for nourishment and for oil. Oil is like, olive oil is a blessing from God. Sometimes the Bible describes it running down the beard of a priest or whatever. So it's a blessing. But other than that, I mean, would you have any idea what the heck is going on here? Like, and this is, I take comfort from this, because Zechariah, he wrote a book, it's in the Bible, he's a pretty important guy. He has no idea what this means. In verse 4, "And I said to the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' And then the angel said, 'Don't you know what these are?' I said, 'No, my Lord, I have no idea what is happening here.'" So the angel proceeds to tell him what the vision is. And this should comfort you. Like, if you have a dream and you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, "What the heck was that all about?" Maybe the Lord is speaking to you directly. And maybe you just had bad Chipotle the night before. And I don't know. But sometimes even prophets need an angel to explain what's going on. And the angel explains about this exciting project. The temple is going to be rebuilt. And this is thrilling news for people who are discouraged. If you look down in verse 7, that last sentence in the text, it says, "And he," and that's Zerubbabel, who's the governor at the time. Zerubbabel, and that's pretty fun to say. Would you say that with me on three? 1, 2, 3. Zerubbabel. That's the guy. Be thankful you're not named Zerubbabel. And if you are named that, forgive me for offending you. "And he shall bring forward the top stone." So the top stone, that's the last stone to be laid to complete the work of the temple. So Zechariah is hearing this awesome news. The temple is indeed going to be rebuilt. There's a lot of opposition. There's a lot of struggles. But what's going to happen is the temple will be rebuilt. There's great cost in doing this. There's tremendous manpower needed. There's neighboring people groups that don't want the temple to be rebuilt. In spite of all of that, it's going to happen. God is saying this is going to happen. And this is very exciting news for the people. I want to just give you a quick 3-year review of how we got to where we are as a church, because it's important. In 26, well, even going back 5 years ago, we started looking at what we believe as a church and what our mission is as a church. And we also looked at what the denomination we were part of believed and where they were going as a denomination. And we found that it was like this. And so we shared that with you, the congregation. And in November of 2016, we voted to leave the denomination. And it was 87% in favor of leaving. It was very clear that this was where the Lord was leading us. Now, at the time, we thought it was unlikely that we would lose our property, but that it was clearly a possibility. There had been no precedent of that happening in the particular presbytery that we were part of, but we knew that there were cases across the country where that had happened. We didn't think it would happen. We knew it was a possibility. Well, over the next year, we learned that indeed we were going to get kicked out of our building. And when we finally, through all the negotiating, came to that conclusion, do you remember, were you there in September 2018 at that meeting when we shared that? I believe it was one of the most Christ-honoring, worshipful times in the life of our church, because we shared some seriously bad news. And it could have been, y'all could have split right then. You could have walked out and said, you know, forget this place. They made a mistake. We're following the wrong people. And instead, what happened was we worshiped. Like, we worshiped together. And there were tears. There was grief, but there were also tears of joy. And what everybody said essentially was, we are going wherever this church goes, we are going to go. And we had these charter documents because we were changing denominations. So even though we're still NAPC, we're kind of reorganized, and everybody signed it. And it ended up being a celebration, and that's amazing. That's the Lord's work. And so from there, we were looking for a place to worship, and we asked the school, and we asked other places, and we looked at rented venues, and we couldn't find anything, and then this building popped up on Hamilton Road, and we thought that it was the place that God was leading us, and we were looking to purchase it, and we had to do some due diligence, but we announced that this is where we thought we were going to go for our temporary space until we went to a more permanent space, and as we did that due diligence, we found that it was going to be incredibly costly and would prevent us from looking for a permanent space for many, many years, more years than we certainly would want to be in that space. And so we had to do an about face. And that was hard, man. That was tough. And if you were there, you remember that. So then we were scrambling around trying to find a place. And we went back to the school and we said, we really think we'd be a good partner. We want you to host us. And they said, sure, why not? And that was amazing too. Okay. So here we are. And it's a pretty cool space, isn't it? I mean, it works. But it's not going to be where we will... That was pretty tepid, y'all. Like, I mean, good. I'm trying up here, okay? It's a pretty good space, isn't it? Hancock's still staring me down, not saying a word. No. Crossed like this, looking like that. Man, I need a hug after worship, brother, okay? Okay. It's not bad. It's not where we're going to stay forever, okay, Tom? It's not where we're going to stay forever. But look, this will be land building. It's going to be a challenge, but it will be a joyful challenge. It will not happen. I'll tell you how it won't happen, and this is what we're going to see in the text. How it will not happen and how it will happen, okay? This is what the angel says. And it's in verse 6. Look with me. Then he said to me, the angel said to Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power. It's not going to happen by their own power. And nor will this, all of this that we want to see the Lord do, will it happen by our own power. We've got lots of talent, lots of gifts in this room. If we are not crying out to the Lord for help, it will not happen. Like, I don't know about you, it's my tendency, if there's a problem or a challenge in my life, I come up with a plan, I talk to other people about it, and then I get ready to act, and then right before I act, I say, oh yeah, Lord, will you just put the stamp on this thing before I move forward? Because I figured it out. And that's not the way to do it. Like, we have the God of the universe who is telling us to come to him. And that's what he says here, not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It is the Spirit of God who leads us and who guides us. That's what they needed then. That's what we need now. And if we are going to have the impact that we long to have, a generational, multi-year, long-term, multi-decade influence in this part of the city and in Linden and across the world, it will only happen as we cry out to the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that it's going to happen. So I want you to grab a pen if you don't have a pen. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down on your piece of paper one challenge that you face in 2020. One thing that's kind of on your heart that you are concerned about that's a challenge for you in 2020. Will you write that down right now? And if you're not going to write it down, I can't make you write it down, but maybe make a mental note of a challenge. If you can write in really small font so nobody reads it, or sign language or something, some kind of code. But write something down or take note of something, some great challenge that's facing you. And when you're done, I want you to look up here. All right, we're going to pray now for this challenge. Let's pray together. I'm going to close us. We're going to pray silently, okay? Let's pray. Father, we all have, there are so many different challenges that people face in this room, and some of them are on the light side, others are just so heavy, so difficult. And so, Lord, we come to you with those challenges, and we ask for your grace. Holy Spirit, we need you to move in order for us to do the things that you want us to do to overcome the challenge that we are thinking of that we wrote down. So would you please move, and would you guide us, and let us use our gifts and whatever it is that you've placed within us to glorify you and to overcome these challenges that we face. And we lift them up to you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of mine, I really want this church to become more of a place where people who don't know Christ come and who come to know Christ, and who then get discipled by more mature Christians, you know, as they are baby Christians. Like, I think we do a really good job of bringing people in who maybe have heard the gospel before but haven't quite, you know, gotten engaged in community, do a great job with that. I want to see people who don't know Christ walk through the doors. I want to see people come to know Christ here. That's a miracle that can only happen as God the Holy Spirit moves. I pray for that. I hope for that. Will you pray with me for that for this year? Yes? Thank you. Thank you. The angel tells Zechariah that whatever is facing them, they're going to be able to overcome. Verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, which essentially means this big mountain, this big challenge in front of you. God can make it a plain. He can give you the power to overcome whatever challenge you are facing. And then he says, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. What they will proclaim is grace, grace, which is what we all should proclaim. Do you know that the Christian message is not fundamentally behave in this way or else? Or if you do these things right, God will love you. If you do these things wrong, God won't love you. That's not the Christian message. The Christian message is you are in the deepest trouble you could ever imagine, and God has given you grace through his son Jesus. Do you know what grace, literally grace is? A gift that you didn't earn or deserve. That's the message of Christianity. We don't deserve God's love, yet he's given us his love freely through Jesus Christ. And we should be crying out grace, grace every single day, but all of the things that God has done in and through us and that he will do in and through us will be grace from beginning to end. And he does condescend to use this church. It's amazing. Did you know that when I asked people at the Christmas Eve services to raise their hands if they wanted to begin a relationship with Christ for the first time, you know, 15 to 20 people raised their hands? That has never happened in the life of this church. Like, that many people indicating that they wanted to follow Jesus for the very first time. That's all of grace. We have 94 people a Sunday that we need to do all the setup, tear down, greeting, teaching, assisting, and so on. Do you know that, like, that's happening? We didn't know if people would come, but people are coming and setting up and tearing down. It's actually going well. Now, don't get me wrong. We need more. And if you're not helping, I know who you are, okay? And I'm gonna come get you, because we need your help too. We need your help to set up. But it's happened. It's actually working. Our youth ministry, I want you to know this. Our youth ministry, the other day, like a month ago, we had 5th, 6th grade, and then we had 7th through 12th. They met at the same time, the same night. There were like 55 kids there. It's never happened. We've got, every time we meet as a youth group, there are around 30 kids coming. That is remarkable. And by the way, it's tonight, so come tonight, 5 to 7 at the youth barn. We have a great team serving with Pastor Brady. We have God doing things. We even have junior, seniors in high school who want to help out and help disciple the younger kids. That's all of grace. Let me give you one more example. This is a picture of a medical clinic we ran in Gulu 2 years ago. We're leaving 2 weeks from yesterday, taking a team of 13 people back to Gulu. And technology is amazing. I was on Facebook live video chat with Pastor George like a week and a half ago. And we're just talking for free. Now, it was like a 4-minute conversation. It was extremely broken up by the bad Wi-Fi in Uganda. But still, we got to talk. And he sent me this email right before Christmas, and I want to share it with you. This is what he said. NAPC, through your support, over 1,200 kids in the last year received a Christian education through 4 schools that they've started. 1,200 kids. 55 teachers were funded through our financial support. A bridge was reconstructed in Paget Village, this village that we actually visited that is so far out there that desperately needed this bridge. It was rebuilt through our support. A medical clinic's, over 1,000 people served through our support. 10 small and medium businesses received loans that helped build up the community and provide through our support. And this is how he closed the email. You have stood with me, Kingdom City Church International, church leaders in our communities for a very long time. May God be with you, your families, and the entire church. God bless you, NAPC. There's more to come. And it will happen as we depend on the Spirit and as we pray and pray and pray. And don't stop praying. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica that they should pray without ceasing. That means that all the while that you're conscious, you've got on your mind the living God, somewhere in the back of your head. You know, you take a break and you're walking to the water fountain, and you just say, Lord, thank you for it this day. You wake up in the middle of the night. You can't go back to sleep. You say, God, I'm stressed about this. I give it over to you. And it would be great if you would just knock me out and conk me out and let me sleep, because I do trust you, but I'm having a hard time trusting you, but I still trust you, so let me go back to sleep. I've never experienced that at all. You should pray when you get up in the morning. Lord, this is your day. I'm so thankful for this day. Help me to get through it. Or Lord, this is a stressful day. Help me to get through this day. That we would pray and pray and pray and never stop praying. Here's the truth. Our plans and talents can be deployed in a faithful way only as we depend on the Spirit and pray. Our plans and talents can be deployed in a faithful way only as we depend upon the Spirit and pray. That's true. And it also rhymes. So can we say it together? You ready? 1, 2, 3. Our plans and talents can be deployed in a faithful way only as we depend on the Spirit and pray. That's the truth. And so We need to be praying. We need to be praying for this year. Would you please pray for this year, for all that I just explained to you is going to happen? Would you please pray? Well, pray for these things. Pray for the land that is hopefully we're going to be able to present to you something soon in the next 6 weeks or so. Pray for that. Pray that the Lord would do amazing things and go before us. Pray for unity this year as a church, because anytime any church buys land and builds a building, there are lots of different opinions, and lots of different opinions are welcome. But at the end of the day, when we make decisions, what we want is to all move forward together. Amen? So, opinions welcome, but disunity not welcomed, and we're gonna walk forward together. So please pray. Satan loves to cause disunity among churches. Pray that we would be protected. Pray for conversions here at NAPC, here in this area, in Linden, in Ometepec, where we're sending a mission team next month in Gulu, and pray that not only for conversions, but that we would disciple people, that we would not leave baby Christians out there to figure it out on their own, but that we would come alongside them, disciple them. Y'all, we have been equipped to lead and disciple. Let's actually do that. Let's actually find somebody and start bringing them along in their faith. Very, very exciting year. Please be in prayer. And let's depend on the Spirit as we go forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and grace and mercy. Thank you that you want us to reach out to you. You invite us to come to you and to beg for your help. And so we do that now. We beg for your help. And we ask that you would just continue to use this church in amazing ways. I look back over the last 3-4 years, it's been tumultuous, but you have been with us every step of the way, and you are continuing to lead and guide us. We lay ourselves before you and say, God, we belong to you, and we want to do whatever it is you call us to do. So we pray that we would do that. We love you. We praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' great name. Amen.